Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Nova M Radio. How you doing, huh? You happy with the stimulus plan? If you read my mini blog today, you know my feelings about it. We'll have some comments about that compromise plan a little bit later in the program. One of our primary correspondents, Bridget Wolf, wrote an interesting piece about it that well, she's just pissed off. She's very pissed off, as we all should be. But anyway, we'll cover that tonight. We'll also talk about some demonstrations that are starting to take hold around the country. I certainly hope so. And yeah, I'm still coughing. So, but we're here. We're here because we're here because we're here. Bill in Paso Robles wrote, Mike, did you catch Chuck Todd today brandishing his journalistic bravery by, with a smug snicker, asking Obama's press secretary, quote, what does Michelle's appearance on the cover of Vogue magazine have to do with her role as first lady? And I used to think the blanker was okay, Bill in Paso Robles. I missed the press briefing today. I wanted to see the hearing conducted by the Barney Franks Committee with those eight ghouls sitting there. These and the other, yeah, you know, we have satellite television. We can get C-SPAN 1, C-SPAN 2. We can get all kinds of stuff. But they had it, I think, on C-SPAN 3. So I had to wind up watching it on my laptop. And CNN had a great feed, and you know, I was looking at this feed on my laptop, and I thought, you know, this eventually is going to be the future of radio and television. It's all going to be internet. But anyway, I missed the press briefing, so I didn't get a chance to see what Bill is talking about here. But it doesn't surprise me. Chuck Todd got appointed White House press secretary by NBC. And prior to that, he was a political director of NBC. And when they moved the weird-looking one over to Press the Meat to take the place of Russert. God, how quickly we forget. He hasn't been dead a year, has he? Oy. Anyway, when they moved the new guy, David, whatever his name is, they had an opening there at the White House. And White House press corps, the White House correspondent, chief White House correspondent for one of the over-the-air networks is like right up there next to the anchors. It's the primary assignment. If you can't be at the anchor desk, then what you want is to be chief White House correspondent. So Chuck Todd was given that position. And since then, he's become a total dork. Just an absolute twit. Any pretense of fairness on his part has been flushed down the nearest commode. What he does now, he fancies himself just this stunning critic of the Obama administration and all things Democratic. Oh, God, how can they do this? How can they be spending this money? What is going on? You know, guys like that just make me want to puke blood. You know what I'm saying? So Chuck Todd, take a long walk on a short pier. What a bunch of cretins. I hate these people. I really do. I really do. Now, let me digress for a second because, you know, we're always talking about this scathing political stuff. But a story popped up in the L.A. Times on the 9th, which is what, Monday? About the British doctor who kicked off the vaccines cause autism scare may have lied. And what the Times says is that Dr. Andrew Wakefield, the British physician who jump-started the scare about a link between the MMR vaccine and autism, manipulated and changed data to make his case in the 1998 Lancet paper that started all this, according to an investigation by the Sunday Times of London. Now, I know the Sunday Times of London is a Rupert Murdoch rag, so, you know, you pay your money and take your choice on this one. But the reported link, or the purported link, between autism and vaccines has subsequently been refuted by a large number of epidemiological studies. Now, I'm not going to enter into the discussion about this, because I know of the fanaticism, and I don't mean that derogatorily, but the absolute fanaticism of parents who have children with autism who believe there is a link between their child's autism and a vaccine because of the thimerosal, the mercury-based preservative that those vaccines rested in. Now, the fact that mercury-based vaccines, for the most part, preservatives, I should say, were taken out of vaccines a number of years ago, and yet the rate of autism continues to climb, is ignored by the people who insist there is a link. In study after study, as the LA Times article said, just on and on, the number of epidemiological studies that say, no, there's no link. There's no statistical link, much less a scientific link. But I can understand, I guess, the desperate need of people to believe that their child was infected or this was caused. I understand that. I've been a parent a number of times, and you grab anything. You grab at anything. Now, this article in The Lancet 10, 11 years ago, though, set off a reaction that I think has resulted, I don't know, but in the deaths of children who contracted measles, mumps, rubella, whatever these diseases were. I'm sure there have been cases of deafness as a result, because parents were freaked into believing that there was enormous risk that outweighed the protection that the vaccines would give. I don't understand that. I really don't. My oldest child is 40, all the way down to 4.5, and every single one of them had their course of vaccines. When my oldest were young, there were 3 or 4 vaccines that they got, and one of them was MMR. Molly, my youngest, now received about 12 or 14 vaccines over the course of her young life. And she is as healthy as she brings home these viruses. She never gets sick. I do. So, you know, my feeling about vaccinations is, in a loose sense, they are homeopathic. The ones that inject either living or dead virus that your body is then to build immune responses against. I mean, that is pure homeopathic medicine, isn't it? Isn't everybody talk about homeopathic? Well, there you are. Now, for the people who feel that the link between autism and vaccine preservatives is ironclad, I don't get into, there's some discussions I don't get into. I try to stay out of discussions about the horrors between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Although when Israel invades Gaza, I cover it as a matter of covering important events on this program. But another discussion I stay completely out of is this autism / vaccine preservative argument. I do believe that the parents who have withheld vaccinations for their children based on this are in a sense guilty of potential serious child abuse, in much the same way as people who don't believe in medical intervention, they believe in praying as their child lays there and dies of a diabetic coma. I think these people are, excuse me, are absolutely crazy. I mean that. I mean nuts. To reject science in that manner, to say, well, no, my kid is dying, but I'm going to pray to the spooks flying around in the sky, and the spooks flying around in the sky are going to save my child. I mean, to me, that defines insanity. So a little bit more on this, and we're going to move on. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey-free zone.
Twenty-one past the hour. So back briefly to this story in the LA Times that had its origins in the Times of London, that the doctor who came up with the charge or tried to link the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine and autism, apparently his research was inadequate to make that kind of a statement. In fact, about 5 years ago, 10 of the original 13 authors of the Lancet paper requested that it be withdrawn, concluding that, quote, no causal link was established between MMR vaccine and autism because the data was insufficient, end quote. Now, the guy who put this out, whose name is Wakefield, Dr. Andrew Wakefield, continues to stand by his original report. So I just hope that people understand two things. First of all, if the science was there, science that would provide a causal link between these vaccines or the preservative that they're kept in and autism, if the science was truly there, every single bit of science would have been presented, A. B, the whatever studies were done could be repeated by other epidemiologists or other researchers. That is part of the scientific method, that anyone who makes a claim, scientific claim, that claim has to be verified by other researchers or scientists performing the same either studies or the same experiments and getting the same result. That's just what the scientific method is. That was not done. In presenting this as fact, one can only guess at how many people Wakefield influenced not to have their children vaccinated, and especially against something like measles, which is a primary child killer. It was almost wiped out. I had the measles. I can remember so many kids in the 40s and 50s used to get these diseases that have been almost eliminated because of the so-called herd effect. If you have a group of kids, 100 kids, and 80 of them are vaccinated against a disease, chances are the other 20 won't get it, whether they're vaccinated or not. And I think it is grossly unfair of parents to try to take advantage of the so-called herd effect while at the same time putting their own children at risk. And again, that this is highly subjective, I guess, although I don't see the subjectivity in science. It is the scientific method is not subjective. That's why it's the scientific method. It is something that can be objectively repeated in experiments, and similar, if not exactly the same, conclusions can be drawn. So the fact that Dr. Wakefield, I'll use this word, lied about his research is a clear indication to me that the research is bogus. And because it's bogus, it should be discarded. That is the nature of the scientific method. I mean, damn, come on, y'all. So, again, I'm stating my case, but I'm not seeking any kind of conversation about this, agreement or disagreement. I just am not. Not over the air. If you want to send me some scathing, kick-ass, Malloy, you're crazy report by somebody that says, yes, there's a link. Okay, go ahead. You know, do that. But we're not going to talk about it on the air. I just don't want to. But I had to comment on that because I have thought all along, ever since this report came out in the 90s, and it scared the hell out of me because all of my kids had been vaccinated. All of them have had MMR. My grandchildren, you know, they've all had it. And for a moment, it was like, oh, my God, now what? But it turns out, of course, and now I didn't that didn't cause me to end vaccinations in my children. Not at all. Because, again, unless I'm completely understanding that, misunderstanding the term homeopathic, what the hell is a vaccine, a vaccination, that in theory gives you a little bit of the pathogen, a little bit of the pathogen, or part now, it's gotten more sophisticated, part of the pathogen's DNA, so that your body can build an immune response. So if your body is attacked by that pathogen, it can defeat it. Isn't that homeopathic? So, now if they could just come up with something to stop the damn coughing. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, a rebuttal to the latest Republican talking point that the New Deal, FDR's plan, did not work. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Golden voice. All right. I got this from David Gould, who apparently is sending this around to a lot of people. Hi, everyone. A brief rebuttal to the latest GOP talking point that the New Deal did not work. In fact, after FDR in Congress promulgated the first of many New Deal legislations in 1933, FDR went on to score a landslide victory in 1936. Indeed, the New Deal coalition remained in power well into the 60s. Here are the relevant facts from Wikipedia. And there's a whole bunch of stuff, but let's just go with the unemployment figures. From 1933, the unemployment was, you have two choices. I'll go with this one. 1933, the unemployment was 24.9%. 1934, it dropped to 21.7%. 1935, down to 20.1%. 1936, down to 16.9%. 1937, down to 14.3%. 1938, back up to 19%. 1939, down to 17.2%. 1940, 14.6%. 41, 9.9%. 42, 4.7%. And then, of course, the war employment kicked in. In 1943, it was down to 1.9%. In 1944, 1.2%. 1945, 1.9%. And then this article is included. It says, in the 1936 presidential election, Roosevelt campaigned on his New Deal programs against Kansas Governor Alf Landon, who accepted much of the New Deal but objected that it was hostile to businesses and involved too much waste. Roosevelt and his VP won 60.8% of the vote and carried every state except Maine and Vermont. The New Deal Democrats won even larger majorities in Congress. Roosevelt was backed by a coalition of voters which included traditional Democrats across the country, small farmers, the so-called Solid South back then, Catholics, big city machines, labor unions, northern African Americans, Jews, intellectuals, and political liberals. This coalition, frequently referred to as the New Deal Coalition, remained largely intact for the Democratic Party until the 1960s. So, you know, that's the newest scum-sucking lie that is put out there by the Republicans, that FDR, I mean, this little twit Hannity, well, he's not so little anymore, Hannity keeps telling his brain-dead listeners that FDR caused, Jesus Christ, caused the Depression. I mean, Hannity's a dumbass, we all know that, and has zero facts except what comes to him on Republican Party talking point releases, or what he slurps up from listening to the Limbaugh program prior to his. We know that. But to make such a violently stupid claim, FDR was elected in 1933. The stock market crash occurred in 1929. Jesus, God, is there anybody at the Fox organization, radio or television, who has a lick of common sense, much less any kind of intellectual understanding of anything, or even a shred of honesty? Quick answers? No, no, and no. God, they disgust me. Republicans, the Republican Party, I've said it before, I'll keep saying it, needs to be murdered. It needs to be absolutely destroyed, taken into a field and beheaded. That's what has to happen to the Republican Party. It's the party of people who hate this country. They hate freedom. They hate the idea of people helping people, neighbors helping. They hate the basic message of who they claim to be their Messiah, Jesus Christ. They hate him. They hate his message. Unless it's this prosperity evangelical horse crap that so many of them these days seem to be, or used to be, until everything crashed. Well, I believe in Jesus, so I'm going to be rich. It's okay to go out and steal and rape and loot and pillage in the name of money, because Jesus said, whatever he said, preacher told me on Sunday. So, I just can't stand Republicans. Regarding the mini blog I have at MikeMolloy.com today, Prairie 2 writes in, Mike, I have to disagree with your blog today in this way. Capitalism, already ailing at the time, actually died 28 years ago when Ronald Reagan was able to fool Congress and the public into accepting the notion that mergers and acquisitions was a legitimate business plan. Reagan created a monster. Globalization was just a way to justify continuing the nightmare of the Walking Dead. Business after business was consumed until the too-big-to-fail monster just dropped dead. What we have may look like capitalism from a distance, but is really just a corpse-shaped pile of maggots. Oh, God. The point that I'm trying to make is that you can have capitalism. In fact, any large-scale business system will need to resemble it. It is just that you can't let the criminals make the laws. The really big theft was actually legal because the people who did the stealing were able to write the laws. I think you're making my argument, Prairie 2. Oh, well. Any system can be corrupted. Changing to something not called capitalism will end the same way if you allow sociopaths to run it. I don't think Obama has any illusion that the corpse can be reanimated, but calling for an entirely new system, as you did today, is risky. If he is to be successful, he has to build a new system without saying that is what he's really doing. Again, Prairie 2, I think you're making my argument, but I'll continue. Americans, he writes, will not accept the demise of capitalism since they all think they are capitalists. But they are just about ready for serious reforms. They aren't quite ready to roll out the guillotine, maybe after a winter without food and heat. If Obama is not sincere or fails in the attempt, we will find out. Well, let me, I understand exactly what you're writing, Prairie 2, but I think you were agreeing with me more than disagreeing. When I say a new system, I think it's obvious that the one we've had in place for the last 250 years is essentially dead. It has, and the people who murdered it are capitalists. I mean, that Marx said this was going to happen 150 years ago, 175 years ago. This was predicted. So it's finally happened. And, you know, I am not one for state planning. The communist/socialist model. I'm just not for that. I'm for a mixed economy. I call it democratic socialism. with lots of room for entrepreneurship, for companies starting up, startup companies that hire 5, 10, 15, 20, 50, 100 people. It is when it becomes, as Prairie 2 points out, these so-called too-big-to-fail behemoths that then do nothing but fail. The problem is when they fail, they start to take down the entire structure with them. Now, the point that he made about, capitalism is a workable model, you just have to keep the sociopaths out of it, begs the question, how can you have capitalism without sociopaths? I mean, come on. It is a greed-based system that says the worker is an expendable piece of not even machinery. The goddamn machines are worth more than the workers to the capitalists, because the machines have to keep working. The workers can be replaced by cheaper workers. I mean, come on. So capitalism is not the least bit concerned with the rising up of people out of poverty or into the middle class. It never has been. There has been in this country a constant tension between the so-called bosses and the unions. You know, the workers and the bosses. And it was the unions who finally convinced workers, look, on your own, you can do nothing, but join the union, and if there's 10,000 of us, the sons of bitches will listen. If there's 10 of us, they won't. So the union movement, had its day, and then as Prairie 2 points out very accurately, I think, it was Reagan who destroyed the union movement. Well, what's the first thing that happens with a merger of companies? You see it today. The first thing they do when two companies merge, thousands of workers gone. Why? Because of what would then become unnecessary duplication, unnecessary doubling of expenditures, and the workers don't matter. They're gone. Get out of here. We just spent $20 billion to merge our two companies. Company A bought Company B. So you workers are utterly and absolutely, you're ciphers. You don't mean anything. Get out of my goddamn factory. That's how it works, you see? Now, that works until there's nothing left to merge. And then what happens? Then, just export the jobs altogether. That's capitalism. Because capitalism always seeks, remember, the perfect working model for capitalism is slavery. That is the perfect working model. That's how so much wealth was built in this country for the first 250 years before we were even a country, before the rich white landowners decided, hey, wait a minute, goddamn, why should we give any of this to the crown? We want it all! And we had a revolution.
You're gonna rise up righteous.
Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour, I got an email here from Kate T., who writes, Mike, I believe that perhaps George Herbert Walker Bush might just have had the solution for our current financial meltdown. I believe we may need the, quote, 1,000 points of light. Watching these financial giants and their regulatory lapdogs on C-SPAN these past days has made me think that the quickest solution to this mess would be 1,000 points of tiny red light. You know, it really improves the aim. Yeah, it does, doesn't it, Kate? Jesus. She goes on, President Obama mentioned that the private capital is frozen. What makes him think that private capital is going to thaw? Even with this latest round of taxpayer money, private capital is loving this. The economic elitists are not hurting in the least bit. There's no suffering, no fear among these pampered people. Their money is safe in offshore accounts and Swiss banks and tax havens everywhere but here. I heard Congressman Kanjorski say this weekend that on September 15th, 2008, the stock market lost $1 trillion and could have lost $5 trillion if they hadn't stepped in. All of that in one day. President Obama has said that it could have ended our financial system and our system of government. That collapse. Why are they so intertwined? Rhetorical questions. Fascism, I know. Were we attacked that day? Deliberately attacked? Perhaps I'm paranoid, but still, why isn't that question being asked? Kate T. I don't know. Maybe most of us are afraid to ask that question because, denial is not just an ego defense mechanism. It's also, to a certain extent, a survival mechanism, an evolutionary survival mechanism, I'm sure. You know, people who don't use denial and go into panic usually pretty quickly die. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know the answer to that question, but it's a good one. All right, before we move on to what was the deal that was reached today, do we have some folks on the line? Let me take a look here very quick. Okay, let's do that. Let's start with Scott, who is calling from, where are you calling from, Scott? Hightstown what?
Hightstown, New Jersey.
New Jersey. And how are you listening to the program?
Online.
Online. Welcome to the program, Scott.
Thanks, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Well, I guess my question is that as we're moving forward and we have a transition in government, to look at the bipartisanship and how we're dealing with the two sides of a party and how we're going to progress as we're all going to get along, so to speak, to get over our issues and try to make certain talking points or critical issues on each side meet together. And my concern is that we're finding ourselves in a point where it's not happening. And I would really like to see, as being an independent, everyone to be cohesive in their approach to our new government.
Well, that's not going to happen. And in my opinion, here's the reason why. The Republicans, ever since the days of Franklin Roosevelt, have been hell-bent on destroying the social safety net, Social Security, unemployment comp, veterans affairs, student loans, aid to families with dependent children, Medicare now, Medicaid, all of it. To Republicans, they are social Darwinists. They believe that there should be two classes in this country, the ruling elite and everybody else. And that all of these social programs that were instituted by FDR, which in fact saved these rotten bastards so they could continue to loot and pillage, all those programs have to do with a collective idea of, you know, we're all in this together. We're trying to govern ourselves in a society. We're trying to run this enormous economy. And some of the best ideas are the ones that don't focus on this individualist crap, which is exactly what it is. So that's where the Republicans have been for 80 years. They still are. This current crop of Republican legislators are probably, or is probably, the worst that's ever been in office because they have become so ideological driven. They would murder their own mothers if it meant ideological purity of this right-wing neo-fascist fascist Republicanism. Democrats, on the other hand, frightened and cowardly as they are, still retain a shred of the FDR society inside them. So when they try to pass legislation, like a so-called stimulus program, and they include things like money for schools, money for states, money for unemployment comp, money for Medicaid, money for children's health insurance, all of that stuff the Republicans would like to take out and only have tax cuts, which is insane. What good does a tax cut do you if you're unemployed? It does nothing. But what does unemployment compensation? What does an extension of Medicaid? What does an extension of children's health insurance benefit? What does that stuff do for you? That does a lot. So there can be no compromise. The only reason this bill got through was because the Democrats folded on so many issues that were critical to saving this economy and then sucked up the support of these three Republicans who, in order to give their support, insisted that certain things be taken out. So there is no compromise, Scott, none. I will say it again, that the Republican Party as a political entity has to be destroyed because its sole interest is to destroy America. That's called a terrorist organization. That's what it is.
I would have to disagree with you.
Well, I know
wholeheartedly on that.
I understand that you'd have to disagree. I understand. But I'm out of time, and I don't want to hear your disagreement, because your disagreement is not going to make any sense to me whatsoever, okay? But to answer your question about compromise, you don't compromise with a hungry wolf that wants to eat your goddamn throat. You don't compromise. You kill it. Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. We are continuing the discussion here about the so-called stimulus bill. Mayflower Mike writes, "Hey Mike, I had an idiot tell me today that FDR caused the depression. He's a big fan of Hannity. I told him, yeah. He was so bad. FDR was so bad. The country elected him four times by a landslide each time. These people need to go buy a used American history book, and turn the idiot Hannity off." Mayflower Mike and Mayflower Arkansas, I think. Thanks, Mike. Wait a minute, what's this? Subject line says, "Your language hurts your arguments." This is from Don, who writes, "Jesus Christ, son of bitches, goddamn, bastards, and so on, shows no respect, and in some cases, lack of class. Arrogant? Nah. Come on, take a break, Don. I'm just very volatile. I don't like what is going on. If my language offends you, very simple. Turn it off. I've had 8 years... of watching these Republican pigs destroy my country. And to not use coarse language, to me, is just, as Nancy Pelosi would say, off the table. I hate these bastards, you see? I hate them. And maybe I am lacking class. You know, frankly, I couldn't care less. I'm comfortable inside my own skin. I'm comfortable with the way I express myself. If you're not, that's understandable, but you have a quick and easy solution, right? Right. The I like the way CBS News headlined this on their website. "Moving with lightning speed, key lawmakers announced agreement Wednesday on a $789 billion economic stimulus measure designed to create millions of jobs in a nation reeling from recession." Moving with lightning speed? President Obama could sign the bill within days. You know what really really irritates the hell out of me is Harry Reid, one of the leaders of the bargaining that it took to work with these pig Republicans. See, I can't quite get this. The Democrats have large enough majorities to get done whatever they want to get done, the same way the Republicans did. Only Republican legislation was designed to destroy America, to destroy our economic system, to engorge the top 1% of money holders in this country to the point where they are all ready to choke to death on their own filthy wealth. That was that's what the Republicans did. That was what their legislation was about. And come hell or high water, they got the legislation passed. Now, they had an enabler in the White House for a number of years, and that was Bill Clinton, who was also a Republican, who tried to pretend like he was a Democrat. He was not. He was a Republican.
Well, how do you know that, Mike?
Look at his record. That's all. It's very simple. Look at his record. So the Republicans have never had any interest in doing anything for the country that was positive. And the Democrats, over all those years, became so abused and whipped to the point of being like a battered spouse or a whipped family pet or I don't know. They are gutless. They are powerless. Even when they have power, they don't know how to use it. They fold. They whimper. They hide in cloakrooms. And then they have, you know, Henry Waxman and the guy they held the hearings today in the House. You know who I mean. These guys are very vocal. They can put together really good sentences and really lambaste the people sitting in front of them. But when it comes time to grab these Republicans by the throat and hold them at arm's length and get about the business of the country, and then when the business of the country is done, release the dumb bastards. You know, Barney Frank, Henry Waxman, some of these committee chairs had the ability to do it, and they won't do it. So for Harry Reid to pretend, well, here's what he said, quote, "The middle ground we've reached creates more jobs than the original Senate bill and costs less than the original House bill," end quote. Whoa! Arlen Specter, the Republican of Pennsylvania, said, quote, "We hung tough, and it was modified only in the case of absolute necessity." Whoa! Really? Oh, my goodness. So what's going to happen now, boys? What's going to happen now? The bill includes help for victims of the recession, CBS reports, in the form of unemployment benefits, food stamps, health coverage, and more, as well as billions for states that face the prospect of making deep cuts in their own programs. Okay, that's the middle ground. All right, an increase in unemployment benefits. That means length of time, I guess. I don't think it means a numerical figure, because unemployment is not a tax. Unemployment benefits don't come from taxes. They come from required payments from businesses. I mean, that may be considered a tax, but it's not tax money. It doesn't come from the general population. Unemployment compensation is paid into a trust fund by employers. So I'm assuming what they're talking about is extending the length of time of the benefits by how much? 13 weeks? Whoa. 26 weeks? Gee, willikers. And then what? What happened? You know what 26 weeks is? It's nothing. Do you know how many people have been looking for jobs for 2 years, 3 years? Oh, let's pat ourselves on the back. We got extension of unemployment benefits. Woo! An extension of food stamps. Woo! Health coverage? What does that mean, health coverage? Does that mean Medicaid? Does that mean the kind of health coverage that a growing number of physicians won't even touch because the reimbursement payments are below what it costs a doctor to run his office? Is that what they're talking about? Are they talking about taking your kid to a county clinic and there will be money in the county clinic? And if you're seen by not a physician's assistant, not a doctor, not a nurse practitioner, if you're seen by somebody who couldn't, and not an RN, I'm not busting up on any of these healthcare workers, but in so many instances, in these clinics, especially here in the South. They're run by people who may have an LPN or a two-year nursing degree. And this is how diagnoses are made. This is how medicines are prescribed over the signature of a physician who comes into the clinic once a week. Come on. Is that what they're talking about? And as far as billions for states that face the prospect of making deep cuts in their own programs, what are the absolute demands and requirements on that money that goes to the states? Here in Georgia, you know, what is it? 41 states are looking at the potential for bankruptcy. In the South, what is going to happen down here in Bohunkville when these checks come in from the federal government? What's going to happen to the money? Is it earmarked to go, all right, this much goes to education, this much goes to pre-education, this much goes to the children's health insurance program so that kids can go see a private a pediatrician, this much goes to helping their moms and dads with extra unemployment benefits? Where does it go? Have you been told? Have I been told?
As if to underscore the urgency, President Barack Obama said executives at Caterpillar Corporation told him they would rescind some of the 22,000 layoffs they recently announced once the stimulus is signed into law.
Oh, my God. Jesus lives. He's a Caterpillar executive. Oh, they're going to rescind some of the 22,000. How many? 9? 112? This is nonsense. This is nonsense. This country is desperate. Desperate. We're about to plunge over into an abyss we'll never get out of. And what are these bastards doing? Oh, well, we're going to extend your unemployment benefits and give you a few more food stamps.
Nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. A couple of emails here. Subject line, thanks, Mike. Email reads, you just read an email from a guy that objected to your language. I'm a 76-year-old grandmother, and I would like to thank you for saying what I would love to say, and say it just the way that I would. I hate these people. Keep it up, Mike. Carol from Torrance. There were a couple that came in like that. I realize that I use crass, coarse language on occasion, and the number of occasions seems to be increasing. I've had conversations with program directors that carry this program, our affiliates, who have not asked me to tone anything down, but just expressed, look, a little bit concern from listeners in various areas around the country, and I appreciate that, and I try, I honest to God try, to keep my temper in check, but it's just impossible. You know, I'm talking about, and you too, when you have your conversations, what we are talking about are people who have deliberately and consciously decided to destroy the country. I mean, Jesus, God, what are we supposed to do? Have nice language when we discuss these rat bastards? No. We're supposed to have reaching across the aisle for what? To have our arms cut off? No. You know, no mercy with these pigs. No mercy. Nothing. Nothing. As far as working out compromises, that is ludicrous. Who wins in a compromise? Does the American unemployed worker? Does somebody in some small town in Ohio who's about to lose their house, do they win? Hell no! You know who wins with these compromises? These goddamn Republicans. That's who wins. That's what compromise means. Give me, the Republican Party, what I want. That's all it means. And the Democrats know this. And if they don't know this, they ought to be turned out of office permanently. Give it to these filthy Republicans. No, don't do that. Whew. Not use coarse language. Not on this program. You know, I often think I ought to just bail out of Nova M and go to work for Sirius XM and say any anything I want to say. But I wouldn't do that. I don't think. Prairie 2 has a little clarification for me here. The subject line is unfreezing credit. And he says, the plan the Treasury Secretary, that would be Timothy Geithner, presented yesterday, calls for the government to bypass the big banks and provide $1 trillion to the secondary market that does the actual loaning to consumers and small businesses. The bastards who are sitting on their money hoping for deflation to make them rich, very, very rich, they would own everything and be very rich, will find themselves losing out if inflation starts to kick in from all the government, all the money the government is printing. If somebody is sitting on cash, the easiest way to take it away is to make it worthless. I hear that. Now, you want an example of some of the wonders of capitalism? And that's exactly what this is. I got an email from Greg in Des Moines with a link to an article in Des Moines Register yesterday. And it says, state officials say that 21 mentally retarded men who were evacuated from an eastern Iowa building late Saturday are receiving medical attention and are doing well. Since the 1970s, Henry's Turkey Service has sent mentally retarded men from Texas to work in West Liberty's meat processing plant. For 34 years, the men were housed in the former schoolhouse, known locally as the Bunkhouse, that Henry's leases from the city of Adelissa, Iowa. The entire structure was being warmed with space heaters. A state health official called conditions there deplorable. In January, one of the men worked 149 hours at West Liberty Foods as a gut puller. He was paid $65, which works out to 44 cents an hour. Henry's then deducted from that same worker's disability check $487 for room and board in the bunkhouse, a building that state officials have described as a tinderbox that posed an immediate threat to the men's health and safety. An additional $572 was deducted from the worker's disability check for what Henry's calls kind care. At least one of the men was over 70 years old. State officials have said they plan to file criminal charges against the company or its representatives for running an unlicensed care center. That's a misdemeanor offense in Iowa, punishable by up to a year in jail and a fine of up to just under $1,900. You want an example of capitalism? There you go. And before the bleeding heart conservatives say, well, Mike, you know, what else are you going to do with a bunch of retards? Hire them is a good idea if that's how you want to identify them. But maybe pay them the prevailing federal minimum wage? Huh? You bastards.
Kathy, I'm lost, I said. Oh, I knew she was sleeping.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Yeah, okay. I apologize for the long pauses in the middle of sentences. That's when I hit the mute button and cough. Roz writes in, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, which is where the law, Judaic or, Judeo-Christian law, was established. And Roz cites Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 and 15. This is regarding to the story from the Des Moines Register I just shared with you. The book says, "Do not take advantage of a hired man who is poor and needy, whether he is a brother Israelite or an alien living in one of your towns. Pay him his wages each day before sunset, because he is poor and is counting on it. Otherwise, he may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin." And now the deacons will move among the congregation and pass the offering plate. Thanks, Roz. Prairie 2, another clarification. Boy, we're just working him to death tonight. Regarding the unemployment extensions, he writes, "When the feds extend unemployment, as they just did, they pick up the cost. As the trust funds, the unemployment comp trust funds are already broken, or broke. They're empty. The employers that survive might eventually make some of it up, even if it comes out of the general fund that can be considered recoverable in the sense that more tax revenue will come in over time if the country survives." Okay. Thanks for the clarification. That's why he's our economic advisor, because half the time I don't know what the hell I'm talking about where it concerns this stuff. That's why I rely on you folks. Reg writes, "Crass course language is a totally appropriate response to crass course thieves and murderers. I do, however, wish you'd refrain from insulting innocent little pigs who may not be Republicans." And then Patrick, who writes, "Mike, no need to tone it down. I hate those rat bastard Republicans, too. I live in Miami. Listen to you on 940 WINZ. Not for very much longer. I'm 34, voted Democratic for as long as I've been able to vote. It's not as though I'm going to change sides, but damn, why can't we tell these Republicans to go blank themselves? Why should we even consider their ideas? I'm sorry. I'd shut them out entirely. There's no reason to listen to them. They've been a force of ruin my entire life, especially the biggest rat bastard of them all, Ronald Rape and Ruin Reagan. God, I'm so tired of them. Even as a little kid, I hated him. I knew he was full of blank. Why can't Obama stop listening to them and do what he originally meant to do? If he gets too deep in this bipartisan BS, I fear he's going to pay a price in the midterm elections. That will certainly not help matters. All we have to do is just stomp on their throats right now, and we're not doing it. Seize the bully pulpit and tell them you're going to step on their throats. I love Obama, but FDR would not have taken this crap." Patrick, hey, I know my audience. You know, I get one of 10,000 that says, "Oh, I don't like your language." And the other 9,999 say, "Why do you keep it toned down so much?" I've got to share this with you. I said I did not want to get into this discussion, but in fairness, this is from Raging Lefty. "Dear Mike, I've been an RN for 28 years and have two sons with autism. I've heard all the arguments regarding mercury and autism. I had to look at the medical and scientific research myself. I've concluded that mercury is the cause of autism. Big Pharma is so powerful that they have covered up this epidemic of autism. I know you have a very tender heart for children, Mike. Please encourage parents to read more about this issue before they give their children vaccines or expose them to mercury from the environment. Big Pharma has not taken out all the mercury in the vaccines. For example, the flu vaccine, which the CDC is suggesting for six-month-old infants, has 25 micrograms of mercury per shot. Many healthcare organizations used up their infant vaccines with thimerosal before they started injecting babies with their mercury-free vaccines. Who knows when the mercury was removed from infant vaccines? Mercury is now being implicated in Alzheimer's. There are many publications which show evidence that mercury is a huge factor in autism. Researchers have died trying to expose what Big Pharma is covering up. Robert Kennedy Jr. wrote an article in Rolling Stone explaining the cover-up. It is a scandal. Dr. Wakefield, that's the guy who wrote the original article, is being character assassinated in the article that you read by Brian Deere, who is a media hitman, and then in parentheses, like Ann Coulter or Rush or Bill O'Reilly. I also enclosed Dr. Wakefield's rebuttal to Brian Deere's article. See below. I'm glad your children and grandchildren could clear the mercury out of their bodies. Not everybody has been that lucky. In the U.S., 1 in 150 children have autism. 20 years ago, it was 1 in 10,000. Something has happened in the last 20 years to cause this. Thanks, Mike. Raging Lefty. All right. The story that Greg in Des Moines sent in about this Henry's Turkey Service sending mentally retarded people to work in this meat processing plant. At the very end of the article, which you can access at the DesMoinesRegister.com, it's from yesterday. Greg writes, rich capitalist Americans are the poorest example of everything. Kill capitalism. Rich Americans exploit other men for their labor. Rich Americans start wars for profit. Rich Americans steal land from Indians, blacks in Louisiana, etc. Rich Americans create bailout bills for other rich Americans. Rich Americans scream no minimum wage increase and scream even louder, no maximum wage. Rich Americans ship killer peanut products to other Americans, just like the Chinese. I do a little video work in Des Moines, and a Hollywood movie, Ticket Out with Ray Liotta, just wrapped shooting here. I called about a production assistant position I heard about, and the person on the phone stopped my introduction and said, the job is 12 hours a day, no pay. Well, expletive deleted me. Well, blank me. I said, no thanks. Next, we will hear that liberal Hollywood production companies that support left-wing causes can't find Americans to work on the set. Jesus, I think we're at the end of the line here in America, Greg in Des Moines. Some of your emails, which I appreciate your sending in. And, you know, to the extent that we can, you know, I like to share them. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. We have a bunch of open lines, so if you want to get in here, 800-989-1480. Patrick is calling from L.A., listening on the Internet. Patrick, welcome to the program.
It's still difficult every day.
Patrick?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. I right when you talked, my phone kind of blinked. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I just feel like the only bailout that's going to work is if the government provides jobs that pay a living wage for the poorest of Americans, and the middle class and the banks can make their money when they provide services to the poorest people in America. Let the money start with them as opposed to start with the banks.
Mm-hmm.
And banks can do the job that they're supposed to do, which is be a place where American citizens put their money to save their money. You know what I mean?
Well, I agree with you up to that point. I think banks should be eliminated, and credit unions should be the main institution that we use to do savings, to do mortgages, to do car loans, to do CD deposits, whatever. I've said it before. I have not dealt with a bank in 25 years, and I've been with the same credit union here in the Atlanta area during that time, and have done just about everything from personal loans to truck loans to mortgages to credit cards.
Uh-huh.
And since it isn't investor owned, so to speak, they don't have stockholders. I mean, whatever profit they make, they give back to their depositors, and they're in no trouble whatsoever. The deposits are insured just like in banks. But credit unions, I just can't stress it enough. I think banks should be abandoned. Let the sons of bitches just choke to death on their own debt. Let them die, just like the Republican Party, and start supporting credit unions. I believe that. I believe that, Patrick.
Yeah, I believe I believe since the beginning of this country, the wealthy have denied American citizens of their inalienable rights ever since the beginning of our country, just by buying influence in our political system.
Amen.
And they need, with the technology we have today, the majority, enough American citizens, as demonstrated by putting Obama in the office, can communicate, can get information, and they can make changes that way and overpower, you know, the wealthy. Because I think the best and only way for our government to protect the unalienable rights of everyone in America is to guarantee a job that pays a living wage for the poorest people. And
you know what the hourly wage would be for people to have a so-called living wage, which
$20 plus.
I think the last figures I saw was around $16 or $17 an hour, and I totally agree. For a family of four, I think, and I totally agree with you.
Yeah. And I believe that if there's a God and we put value on human beings of that kind of value, you know, if there's a God and He blesses the country, well, I'll tell you what, that's the only way this country is going to be blessed, because the way it's going now,
the middle class and the rich
are going to be brought down to the level of the poor.
Straight to hell in a handbasket. Thanks, Patrick. I got a break. We'll be right back.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Tabby, for the hour, I got this email, and I want to share it with you because I think it's important. It comes from the Human Rights Campaign. I'm sure you're familiar with that organization, by way of Jude, who sent it on to me. And it says, this Saturday, unless we act right now, a Michigan TV station will air a one-hour anti-lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, LGBT propaganda piece designed to, quote, reveal the truth about the radical homosexual agenda. Jesus Christ, are they still talking? Oh, my God. The ultra-right-wing American Family Association says it produced the 60-minute program to air nationwide. We need thousands of people to speak out immediately against this paid campaign of lies. Before the program airs on WOOD TV, Wood? Wood TV? Got Wood? The Wood TV station, the local NBC affiliate in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Well, that figures. WOOD TV in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Make no mistake, this is the opening salvo in a coming battle over pro-equality legislation. Just as we are on the cusp of historic change, a federal hate crimes law, protection for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender workers against job discrimination. Extremist groups like the AFA are launching a well-funded national campaign of hatred and fear to halt our progress. The program recycles familiar lies that hate crime laws will do away with our freedom of speech, or that pastors will be, quote, criminalized for sharing the love of Jesus Christ, end quote. In fact, the proposed federal hate crimes law explicitly states that it only applies to violent acts, not speech. The so-called anchor of this faux news program, which may have already aired in smaller markets, is controversial talk show host Janet Parshall, oh Christ, not her again, who in 2006 suggested Matthew Shepard's lifestyle was responsible for his murder and called gay adoption, quote, state-sanctioned child abuse, end quote. We can't let this bigotry go unanswered. We can't let it scare voters or force LGBT people back into a place of shame and hiding, or create an atmosphere of intolerance or hate. Thank you for taking action. Yeah, that's something you could do. Wood TV in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can find them on the internet. Send them an email. But see, this is, and why is that pertinent now? It is pertinent now because this is always what happens in a time of national financial crisis. Look what happened in Germany. back in the 30s. It was utterly and deliberately destroyed as a result of Germany's adventurism during World War I. Treaty of Versailles guaranteed that Germany would not recover, ever. They were doomed. The money that they had to pay for reparations eventually led to the point where a loaf of bread, it took a wheelbarrow of the Deutschmarks to go get a loaf of bread. And that gave rise to, ta-da, ta-da, Adolf Hitler, and the SA, and the SS, and the death camps, and so on and so forth. And what? How did they rise? Get the Jews, get the gay people, get the gypsies, get some of the Protestant resistors, get the Poles, get the Czechs, get the Yugoslavia. You understand what I'm saying? Get the union organizers, get the communists, get the socialists. And it's going to happen here. It's going to happen here. It already has started happening here. And this video produced by this Nazi bigoted sick American Family Association, this is how it starts. Remember what Pastor Niemöller said. Just keep it in mind. Keep it in mind. You don't have to be someone who subscribes to religious fantasy to find genuine nuggets of wisdom in what some religious people have said over the centuries. And it was Niemöller, who the Protestant minister, who saw what was happening in Germany and warned against not saying anything. And the gay community came out with the very effective graphic that was became, I hate to say, popular. I don't know how else to put it, though, in the 80s and 90s. Silence equals death. Silence equals death. Don't be silent about this stuff. It's going to happen more and more. I mean, this is what happens when a society starts to collapse economically. I don't know how far we're going to plunge. I really don't. I don't think anybody does. I don't think the people in Washington who are trying these half-assed methods to stick a thumb in a hole in this huge dam that's holding back this tidal wave of financial chaos, I don't think they know either. And they are erring on the side of stupidity. You know, why not go for the whole thing? You know, we were told over and over again that it was going to be $1 trillion. I'm talking about the legislation that appears to that's going to pass. You know, the right wingers say, "Oh, it's $1 trillion of crappy spending and earmarks." You know, this pig Hannity is still referring to all the pork, the earmarks in the bill, and there's nothing there. But Hannity works for Fox News, and Fox News is a nest of liars. Lightning should strike them or something. Maybe Yahweh can reach his hand down from heaven and just squeeze them until they become a little like a booger and flick it into the gutter. What am I saying? But anyway, resist this. Really. Send an email to WOOD Television in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Go ahead. Why not? And you freaks out there listening, you know, you right-wing bastards, send one that says, "Yeah, I support it. Yeah, yeah, God damn it. I don't want them queer homosexual radical agenda making it, you know." But normal people, you might want to respond to this. You better. Remember what Niemöller said. You know, they came for the union organizers, and I said nothing because I wasn't one. They came for the socialists, and I didn't say anything because I'm not a socialist. They came for the Catholics, and I didn't say anything because I'm not a socialist or a Catholic. They came for the Jews, and I didn't say anything because I'm not a Jew. And when they came for me, then they came for me, and there was nobody left to speak for me. Welcome back. 6 and a half past the hour. You want some more? Another example of this is the Molloy program on Nova M. You want some more? Another example of the wondrous glories of Bush capitalism or Bush corporatism. Did you watch any of the hearing today? There's just a little bit of it on, I think, MSNBC or CNN might have carried some of it. They have more important things to talk about, like the woman with the 16 kids or L-Rod or J-Rod or P-Rod, whatever the hell is this punk-ass baseball player who used steroids. Woo! Really? Oh, God! You know, they cover stuff like that. But this guy, the president of the Peanut Corporation of America, Stuart Parnell, the one who is now responsible for at least 8 cases of murder and hundreds of cases of sickness, and it's spreading because his little crap hole of a peanut processing plant in Texas has continued to produce this toxic material that they sell as peanut paste. And this rat bastard was called into to Congress today in front of the, I forget which committee, a House committee, and he took the Fifth Amendment. He, you know, and you talk about somebody who looks like an absolute gangster. Did you see this piece of human waste? And as Media Matters has put out there, I think it was Media Matters, you can watch the video if you want to. I think it's MediaMatters.com. And they said, see that nice fellow there refusing to answer any questions about why his company kept selling salmonella-tainted products even after the company knew it was they were making them? Doesn't it somehow figure that he was a Bush administration appointee to the U.S. Department of Agriculture panel charged with overseeing the quality and safety of peanut products? Huh? The president of the peanut company linked to the nationwide salmonella outbreak serves on an industry advisory board that helps U.S. Department of Agriculture set quality standards for peanuts. Jesus H. Christ! Stuart Parnell, president of Peanut Corporation of America, based in Lynchburg, Virginia, was first appointed to the Peanut Standards Board in July 2005 and was reappointed in October for a second term that runs until June 2011. Oh, he was removed from the board last week. This is conservative governance in action. Yeah, are they going to pursue criminal charges against him? Maybe, maybe not. Are they going to pursue criminal charges against George Bush and Dick Cheney and the rest of these murderous bastards? Yeah, we want to look forward. We don't want to look backwards. You don't want to look backwards. Okay. Then let's stop pursuing Nazi war criminals. Let's stop pursuing people responsible for lynching black folk in this country 40 years ago. Let's stop pursuing people who blew up a church in Birmingham, Alabama, took the life of 4 little girls. Let's stop it then, goddammit, if we're not going to look back. That's not the issue. You know what the issue is? Democratic cowardice. Again and again. But then Barack Obama? Don't want to look back. Well, Satchel Paige said it. Was it Satchel Paige? Don't look back because you might see what's gaining on you. I'll tell you what's gaining on this country. Call it what you want. The invisible whip, karma, Newton's second law of motion, or is it the first? Or is it the third? I can never keep it straight. Action, reaction. Or just the collapsing of a house of cards that the Bush crime family came into office to construct and to steal as much as they could. And that the miserable son of a bitch named Bill Clinton, who signed off on ending the Glass-Steagall Act back in 1996, was it 6, 96, 97? In his little game of, I'm really a Democrat, but, you know, I just look like a Republican. And, you know, I cheat on my wife like a Republican, but, I'm really a Democrat. I really am, but I'm going to sign this piece of legislation. You know why? I believe it's best for the country, and that's why I'm going to sign it. You know, oh, Jesus, God. So between the two of them, you know, Clinton set it up. It's like T-ball. You know, Clinton put the oversized baseball and that little T thing in front of the four-year-old that came into office after him, George Bush. And George Bush actually knocked it out of the park. So what will happen to the president of the Peanut Corporation of America, who also sat on the Peanut Advisory Board and set the standards? Son of a bitch. This is what I've been talking about for 8 years. This is what you've been thinking about and talking about for 8 years, too. Every single thing that the Bush crime family was commissioned by the Constitution to protect and preserve, they destroyed. Everything. From the goddamn Peanut Advisory Board all the way up to the United States military. They've destroyed everything. Corrupted it, poisoned it, filthed it out, filled it with maggots and cockroaches. So, yeah, give the job of cleaning up the mess to the black guy. Black people have been cleaning up after white people for 350 years. Go ahead. Here we go. Everybody can sit around and go, hey, black man finally made it to president. You know why? Because that's how white people have treated black people in this country for three centuries. We make the mess, they're supposed to clean it up. No? Is that being too literal? All right. Oh, my God. And Harry Reid and what's his name? Arlen Specter today. Was that a scene? Was that a scene? The reduction in the size of the bill... I love the way CBS News reports this on their website, caused grumbles among liberal Democrats who described the cuts as a concession to the moderates, particularly Specter, who are under pressure from conservative Republicans to hold down spending. Hold down spending, my ass. Why does any reputable news... Oh, never mind. Start a sentence with a contradiction in terms. I almost said, why does any reputable news organization in America still refer to Republicans who want to hold down spending after what we've just gone through? I mean, can you believe that? CBS News / Associated Press reports it that way. Reports it that way. We're under pressure from conservative Republicans to hold down spending. They actually put that in print on the internet and send it out. Isn't that astonishing? They're the same rat bastards who also refer to the liberal media. That one just won't die, will it? Huh? Or tax and spend Democrats. That just won't die, right? Oh, God. The Republican Party needs to be beheaded. It needs to be taken out at midnight with a full moon in a soybean field someplace, and its head removed from the rest of its body, tossed in an unmarked grave, and let the cats come and eat what remains on top of the grave. I mean, seriously, they have tried. They are a terrorist organization that has tried and continues to try to destroy the entire country. It is a terrorist organization. It is a terrorist organization. And Harry Reid and Pelosi and even Barack Obama trying to do business with these terrorists. Oh, my God. Okay, well, the day is coming, and you know it as well as I do. Unless all of a sudden there's some kind of... oh, well. All right. We're taking a break. We'll come back. And I have a Bridget Speaks, and then we're going to take your calls for the rest of the night. Okay? I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova. And the phone number here, 800-989-1480. Oh, 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 oh.
truth, justice, and the American way. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Yeah, that's what we're all about. 21 past the hour. All right, we're going to change a little bit here. I've got to share this press release with you. It just came in. And then your phone calls. And we're going to have our moment with Bridget when we come back after the break. I'm a little behind the curve here, but that's all right. WOOD-TV General Manager Diane Niawski posted the following announcement just before p.m. today, saying it would not run the American Family Association paid 60-minute program on Saturday as planned. The announcement said, in part, our station is being bombarded with calls and messages, and we find ourselves in the middle of someone else's fight. We are removing ourselves from this matter. The Human Rights Campaign Alert had urged members to contact the station as they pull the program and instead air a fair discussion or debate on both the issues and pending legislation. Human Rights Campaign President Joe Salmani said, quote, I'm so proud of our members who answered the lies and distortions of the AFA and stopped this campaign of hate and deception. Now, they are going to try in other markets, of course, but as we get this information, I just got this from both Patty and Jude. As we get this information of who they're targeting next, what station, we'll pass it on to you. So I think, if you already sent an email based on what I told you earlier tonight, good. I may send one anyway tomorrow. just a follow-up. Don't you dare run that kind of propaganda piece that targets Americans. What are you, assisting this terrorist organization, the American Family Association? Don't we have legislation on the books now that if you aid or abet terrorism, you are a terrorist? So, TV station, back off. To your phone calls, who do we have here? Robin is calling from California.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. What's up, Robin?
On your course language, don't give it up, man. It's what first attracted me to you, and it let me know that I'm not the only one that's going out of my damn mind.
Yeah, I hear you.
Listening to these guys.
I hear you. Uh-oh. Robin? So much for cell phones, damn. All right, Robin, I'm sorry, man. You just hit one of those holes in the ozone. Jay is calling from Los Angeles, listening on, how are you listening, KTLK, Jay?
I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, okay. Hey, welcome to the show.
Man, you are lovely. Let me tell you, the first family of America is really you and your wife.
Oh, come on.
I have to butter you up, partner, because...
Come on.
I have to tell the truth. Look, there's a lot of things to cover right quick, and I'm sorry that last guy, I didn't get a chance to get through.
Yeah, I know. That's what happens with the damn cell phones. But anyway.
There was a doctor in Nazi Germany.
Mengele?
No. This is just a doctor. He said, when they came after the communists, I said, rightfully so.
Wasn't that Pastor Niemöller? We just quoted him. He was a Protestant minister, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, Niemöller.
Okay, the bottom line to it is that he went right down the line.
Yeah, he did.
And then at the end, he said, all of a sudden, I heard a knock at my door. My wife opened the door, and there's two big goons, and there was no one for me to go to.
That's right. That's the way it works.
We're living in the same type of country.
Mm-hmm.
Let me run through a couple of things right quick. There's a guy, a puke-faced guy, who looked like Karl Rove, who told me, and a group of us, we're working together here in Los Angeles, back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
He said, we're coming after you guys,
mm-hmm.
And little did we know that this cabal was coming.
Mm-hmm.
We have oligarchies in America.
Oh, yeah.
Ferdinand Lundberg wrote a book called The Rich and the Super Rich.
Mm-hmm.
In that book, he talks about how there only 5% of America makes over $150,000 a year, man.
Right.
5%.
I know.
And, you know, like America, you know, like we think, you know, despite all the thousands and thousands of millionaires created every year, that's still the prevailing number today.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we have to, incidentally, before I go any further, everyone has to start growing their own food.
Yeah, you got that right. And as our economic advisor says, get a big stash of canned food, non-perishable stuff that you can keep for a while.
This is no crazy loony.
No,
thing.
We don't know what's going to happen. All we know is that we're it's like being in a SUV that's going 100 miles an hour and there's no driver behind the wheel. And I don't know, is there abyss ahead? Is there a wall ahead? Is there a massive cliff ahead? You know, who knows anymore? Anyway, hey, listen, Jay, I got a break here, man.
Okay, the death knell is credit unions.
Yeah, well.
If they go, then no money.
The credit unions will never go because they don't do this crazy crap. They just don't do it. Thanks, Jay. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show, because each time you listen to Right Wing Radio, God kills a kitten.
All right, 25 past the hour, or 25 before the hour. And once again, it's been a while, but once again, it's time for Bridget Speaks. Mike. Okay, now I'm shouting. I've been watching carefully and holding my fire about events in Washington, figuring I wanted to give both the new president and the even stronger Democratic-controlled Congress a chance to get their sea legs. I was more than a little annoyed with the number of concessions the House Democrats made to try to get Republican votes, which they neither needed nor got, no matter how many tax cuts they put in. I was pretty angry with the Senate Democrats who started genuflecting to Colin Snow and Specter to avoid a filibuster. Let the knuckle-dragging Republicans spend their weekend standing on their flat feet, peering into Coke bottles and railing against creating jobs and trying to keep us out of a depression until their out-of-work constituents hitchhike to Washington and break down their hallowed doors. Oh, peeing into Coke bottles. I thought you said peering. I was trying to figure out what peering into Coke bottles. Peeing into Coke bottles. Yeah, I like that. So, Bridget continues, they've reached a compromise. I don't know what it is. I don't know what is or isn't in it yet, so I can't comment on that part. But I thought I was going to lose my lunch listening to Harry Reid deify the three Republicans who got God knows what kind of deals to support this legislation. He sings their praises as patriots because they were brave enough to not stand in the way of trying to do something about the train wreck that is this economy. Why not nominate them for Congressional Medals of Honor while he's at it? Mike, I'm just sick. And I really, really hate these people. I am so sick and tired of politicians, whatever the letter behind their names, playing politics and their own party power first, last, and always. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great thing that Snow, Collins, and Specter were willing to brave the wrath of their colleagues, their party, and all the foul-mouthed, pea-brained freepers out there to do the right thing. What makes me physically ill is the realization that these three have to risk their political careers to work with the Democrats to try and stop this economic meltdown, and that Senator Reid has to dip into the holy water and bless them to try to pull them out of the raging fires of the right-wing spawn of hell. Whoa. I did a quick read of a few right-wing blogs this afternoon to see the reaction. The posters all sound like 20-something boys who never made it through adolescence, still have acne, couldn't buy a date with a hooker, no offense to sex workers, keep having to prove theirs is bigger than yours, and are so filled with toxic venom that the only place they can find to, quote, communicate, end quote, is online, because anyone who meets them in person runs screaming in the other direction. And then I realized that the revered leaders of the Republican Party, actually all Republicans, are just older versions of the same image. They want this country to fail. They are and have been doing everything they can to make sure that all the money, all the power is concentrated in their hands, and the rest of us can be slaves. These people are evil, Mike. They're evil through and through, to the marrow of their bones. I'm just hoping that enough people are waking up and getting sufficiently angry that the speeding freight train mows them all down so we can start over. God, I'm pissed. I haven't been this angry since before November 4th. And the right wing was worried that we poor progressives wouldn't have anything to be upset about after the election. I guess they showed us. Sorry, this is rambling a bit. Give them hell tonight. For me, thanks. Bridget. That's Bridget Wolf music. Go to fairywoodland.com and see why we picked that music as Bridget Wolf music. Fairywoodland.com. All right. back to your phone calls. Who's the next victim? Oh, yeah. Marge is calling from Indiana. Hey, Marge, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening, Michael. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Because when you push the button for me to go on air, you sort of back up a little bit and get staticky.
I know. That's the crappy connections that we have in certain parts of the country. But, oh, well. So
oh,
what's
well,
up?
Okay.
What's
as long up? As you can hear me. Have you been in touch with Eric Zorn of late?
Who? Eric Zorn? Yeah. As a matter of fact, I called him about 2 weeks ago. And chatted with him about, I forget about what, Eric Zorn, Kathy, what did I call Eric about? I forget. What was it?
Did you want to borrow some money?
Yeah, maybe I wanted to borrow some money, Marge. I don't remember. But anyway, what's up with Eric?
But anyway, well, I know he's not a theater critic, but Second City has put on a new production in the last week or so.
Yeah.
And I thought you might get his input.
Yeah.
It's very loosely... a takeoff on Jesus Christ Superstar, and only loosely because they don't want to have copyright infringements.
Right.
But it's Blagojevich Superstar.
Oh, my God. The Second City Theater in Chicago, I don't know how many people know the comedic history of that troupe, but they're great. That's where...
Among the apostles
yeah.
are Dick Mill... And that's only good for people who are familiar with Chicago politics.
Right.
Dick Mell is Blagojevich's father-in-law.
Right. And his daughter is the Secretary of State? Attorney General. Attorney General.
No. His daughter is married to Blagojevich.
Oh, that one. Okay. It's very confusing in Chicago
Amy
politics.
Amy Madigan is the Attorney General, and she's one of the apostles.
There you go.
She's the daughter of Michael Madigan, who is the... Speaker of the House of Representatives in Illinois.
Right.
And then the third one that I can remember is Roland Burris. These
yeah.
are all the apostles in the show.
And he's now the senator from Illinois.
Right. And the crowning touch is that Patty Blagojevich, with her newfound vocabulary, sings one of the lead songs is, I don't know how to freaking love him. Are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
I don't know if there's any way you can, you know, find out any information about it online, but I thought maybe Eric might be able to fill you in more so than I could, but it just cracked me up when I heard about it.
Yeah, what I'll do, Marge, and let me put you on hold here because apparently our connection, it really sucks. I'll call Eric or go to Second City's website. That's where Belushi came from, and who else? Didn't Chevy Chase come out of there? And so many of the original SNL crowd that didn't come from Canada came from there. All right. Who's next? Oh, yeah, Frank calling from Clearwater, Florida, listening on Sirius. Frank, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to comment on last night you were talking about General Petraeus making some comments about Obama.
He was I've got the story here. I still haven't gotten to it, but disagreeing with I believe it's disagreeing with the Obama timeline about withdrawal from Iraq and what's to occur in Afghanistan. You know, that's not what you do. If you have if you're a military officer, especially of his rank, and you have a disagreement, you can ask for a private meeting and discuss it. But whatever the president says, you better by God do, or you're going to lose your commission if there's any justice.
Yeah, as you were talking about it, I started to form this scenario that kind of got a little bit scary that I could picture a general Petraeus leading the Roman legions back into Rome to depose the emperor, and I've got to think of what a delicate balance this whole thing is, and what's going on now. If this doesn't work out, all this money thing that's going on, it gets kind of scary that the next person that comes in, or you know, the 7 days in May kind of a picture. It just kind of got scary for me. And I wanted to say, the only reason I hate to see Bush out of office is I've loved listening to you rag on him. it's great. I just wish you had you were saying something the other night about more
latitude in how I talk. Yeah, and the only way I'm going to get that, Frank, is to move to a satellite broadcaster, but you never know. Thanks, Frank. I appreciate it. As far as Petraeus, I don't think other general staff or flag officers would join him in anything because they simply don't like him.
But at a touch of hate at Rome, you will rise to a greater power. We will win ourselves a home. You will get the power and the glory.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program and answered your calls, Ben Birch, our podcast manager and technical advisor, Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent, Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf, who are ethical advisors, and Bruce Enberg, our economic correspondent. Executive producer is Kathy Bay. And let me get this out. This we just got our hands on within the past half hour or so. It's from the Reuters news agency. The U.S. Senate, while we're diverted, worrying about where in the hell our economy is going to wind up, how many of us are going to be unemployed, what we're going to, you know, the whole terrorist thing that's happening in this country thanks to the Republicans. This goes on. The U.S. Senate approved William Lynn to be Deputy Secretary of Defense. He's a former Raytheon company lobbyist. He received a special White House waiver from strict new rules meant to close a revolving door between government and big business. Mr. Lynn, the Pentagon's chief financial officer from November 1997 to January 2001 under Bill Clinton, was confirmed by a vote of 93-4 on Wednesday. Raytheon is the world's biggest missile maker and now the Pentagon's number six supplier of sales, or buy sales. Lynn was a senior vice president registered as the company's top lobbyist to the Defense Department from July 2002 until last year. See, he works as the Pentagon's chief financial officer for 4 years. Then he goes to work for a murder contractor. Might as well be Murder Incorporated, Raytheon. President Barack Obama's new ethics rules require appointees to recuse themselves from work related to their former employer or clients for 2 years. Okay. White House General Counsel Gregory Craig and Peter Orszag, director of the Office of Management Budget, said Mr. Lynn was given a waiver because of, quote, exigent circumstances relating to national security, end quote, and in, quote, the public interest, end quote. What the hell does that mean? Circumstances relating to national security? So they hire as the Deputy Secretary of Defense somebody who is a missile salesman or whatever the hell he is? Jesus Christ. Senator Charles Grassley, Iowa Republican, noted for holding federal officials to account, deplored Lynn's nomination in a floor speech before the vote. Grassley, who voted against the confirmation, said, quote, I think the Office of Government Ethics will have to set up a full-time department just to handle Mr. Lynn's conflicts of interest, Raytheon waivers, end quote. As Deputy Secretary of Defense, Mr. Lynn will work as the Pentagon's top operations manager with the final approval authority on most, if not all, contract, program, and budget decisions. Change we can believe in. Raytheon, the world's biggest missile maker. Number six supplier to the Pentagon. Senior vice president of that company, William Lynn, also registered as the company's top lobbyist to the Defense Department, is now Deputy Secretary of Defense. Yee-haw! And he got his waiver because, according to White House lawyers, because of exigent circumstances relating to national security and also in the public interest. How is this in the public interest, I wonder? I wonder. I'm part of the public. How is my interest being served by putting in as Deputy Secretary of Defense a missile salesman? A purveyor of death and destruction on a grand scale. Somebody who works for Raytheon. I used to think that was a textile company. All right, back to your phone calls. Jesus, that is unnerving, isn't it? Let me let that absorb for a minute. Pew, pew. Wow. Change we can believe in. Okay, who we have? Tony is calling from Long Beach, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Tony.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I like your show.
Thank you.
I appreciate your passion very much. I like to hear when you let it hang out. there's no need to tone it down.
Okay.
When I first started listening to you, your opening intro was, hello, truth seekers. You used to say it with such vim and excitement.
Yeah.
I used to say it along with you. Hello, truth seekers.
Yeah.
But then you change it to hi, truth seekers.
Yeah.
How is it going, truth seekers?
Yeah.
How are you, truth seekers?
Yeah.
I prefer the old one.
Okay. What's the old one?
Hello, truth seekers.
Hello, truth seekers.
As for the man who had called up once, knocking you for saying the word, damn it.
Yeah.
Just tell him, look in the Bible. He'll see where Jesus said, damn, the word damn.
Okay. I usually reference the Bible to those people in that the Bible is one of the most extensive collections of adultery, mass murder, incest, bestiality. Never mind. Hey, thanks, Tony. I got to go because we're flat out of time. Thanks, y'all, for participating tonight and for hanging out. Eventually, this cough will be gone. So I'm getting emails from people that said, yeah, I've had it for 6 weeks, too. Take care. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.